And now, the latest in how money and politics mix like oil and, well, more oil.
Former Congressman William Delahunt retired from Congress last year. Like many of his former colleagues in his 14 years in Washington, Delahunt was a champion of earmarks. That's federal funding tied to specific projects, often within a politician's state.
For example, in 2009, Delahunt was in the top 20% of representatives when it came to bringing home the bacon, so to speak. He pulled in $46 million in earmarks that year.
And he certainly became more prolific over the years. And in those last few years, 2009, 2010, he became quite a bring-home-the-bacon kind of guy. These are projects that were close to him in terms of his agenda, renewable energy, things like that. His interests and the earmarks seem to have dovetailed nicely.
That's Eric Lischblau, reporter for the New York Times Washington Bureau. As Lischblau says, Delahunt is on the verge of doing something highly unusual, perhaps even unprecedented. Now out of Congress, Delahunt may stand to directly benefit from an earmark he championed while on Capitol Hill.
The case involves a $1.7 million earmark for a wind energy project in Hull. As the Boston Globe and the New York Times reported this weekend, the town of Hull has hired the former congressman's consulting firm, the Delahunt Group, for strategic guidance on the project. The firm stands to receive $90,000 from the town of Hull, 80% of which would come directly from the earmarked funds.
We spoke to Eric Lischblau a little earlier today.
We've seen hundreds of congressmen go work as lobbyists and often going to work for people that they helped while they were in Congress. This one is unusual. In fact, I couldn't find any case like it in terms of Congressman Delahunt being paid or agreeing to be paid as a lobbyist from money that he himself earmarked and created.
Well, there are ethical and even legal concerns. There is federal law that prohibits former congressmen and women from lobbying their ex-colleagues directly for a period of 1 year after they leave Congress. In William Delahunt's case, that was January 3rd of this year. Is there any indication that ethical or legal boundaries have been crossed in this case?
You know, not definitely crossed. There are certainly issues that are raised. You mentioned one of them in terms of the one-year cooling-off period, because he and his office certainly did have involvement on this particular project months ago while that one-year cooling-off period was still in effect. Another big question is whether this could be seen as a violation of a ban under what's known as the Byrd Amendment of using federally appropriated funds for lobbying.
And just to be clear, there is a requirement that representatives sign a certification while they're in office declaring that they or their families will not benefit from a requested earmark. But again, that's only for while they're in office. They don't have to sign anything that says, I will not benefit after I retire or leave Congress.
Right. Once you turn that corner and leave Congress and become a lobbyist, a lot of the rules become fairly opaque, and there are all sorts of ways to get around them, chiefly by saying, you know, I'm not a lobbyist. And he has not registered yet as a federal lobbyist. He is registered with the state of Massachusetts, with several other clients, but not with the town of Hull. And we also talked in my story about several other interesting cases where he is also representing and getting paid by groups that he helped financially while in Congress, including the Indian tribe in Mashpee, Fishermen's Association, in the town of Quincy. There, the linkage is not quite so direct. You know, he's not getting paid literally out of the same pot of money that he created, but he did get earmarks for funding for all three of those groups and, again, is getting paid by all of them.
Now, William Delahunt released to you a statement. He hasn't spoken to you or us or anyone directly about this. He said, quote, I have no federal lobbying relationship with any past or current client. I have not lobbied anyone in Washington since leaving Congress. But Eric, on the other hand, the town manager in Hull said that when he hired the Delahunt Group, he basically expected Bill Delahunt to be able to, quote, open doors at the federal level that we could never open. So I guess that raises the question, you may not call it lobbying, but isn't it?
Right. I mean, certainly the expectation from the town manager is that part of the reason you're hiring Bill Delahunt is for his federal access. I mean, they don't make any bones about that. And in fact, in the draft of the contract, part of the tasks that are laid out there are grant making and contact with key federal officials. So Delahunt seems to be parsing the meaning of what is a lobbyist, what is a federal lobbyist. Again, he is not registered as a federal lobbyist. It's not clear whether he's going to or should be expected to. A lot of this gets to very hyper-technical definitions, the type that Newt Gingrich has been wrestling with recently.
Now, you also report that both the town of Hull and the Delahunt Group are sufficiently concerned about the ethical questions that this agreement raises that they have turned to the Department of Energy to sort of give them the green light that this is an ethically sound agreement. The DOE didn't talk to you over the weekend. Have you heard from them since? Are they okay with this agreement between the Delahunt Group and the town of Hull?
No, and I've been trying to get an answer to that and still have heard nothing from the Energy Department. What I had heard from both the town of Hull and also from another member of Delahunt's office is that they appeared to have no problem, that they gave sort of a tentative go-ahead to this consulting arrangement after reviewing it. Of course, now that there's publicity, that sometimes changes the final decision, so we'll have to wait to see.
Now, while there is a temporary moratorium on earmarks coming out of Washington for the moment, I wonder if you think that this case of Bill Delahunt is sort of indicative of more similar cases we're likely to see that just, you know, drive money, lobbying, and politics closer together over time.
Right. Earmarks have become sort of a dirty word the last few years. It's important to remember, though, that the ban, and I put that word in quotes, that we've seen in Washington since 2010 is essentially a voluntary one. There's nothing on the books saying that members cannot still appropriate earmarks on their own unilaterally, and some still do. But there have been many groups calling for a real ban with real teeth and real enforcement mechanisms, and that we have not seen.
Eric Lichtblau is a reporter for the Washington Bureau of the New York Times. There's a link to his article at our website, radioboston.org. Eric, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
William Delahunt is currently out of the country and unable to speak with us for this story, but we did hear back from the town of Hull. Town manager Phil Lemnios says that Hull had been aware from the beginning that the contract with Delahunt might have the appearance of a conflict of interest, which is why they are seeking an approval from the Department of Energy. Lemnios also said that the proposed contract does not include any federal lobbying.
Stay with us. Coming up, the music of neo-soul singer Ingrid Gurdes. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.